great to have you here again. Thank you for your supporting this class. There are handouts at each of these two doors as you walk by. Hopefully you have them. If you don't, you can get up and pick one up now. I'm kind of a handout guy. I don't know why that is, but every time I've taught the class, there's always a handout for you to follow along. Maybe I don't trust myself enough to be interesting enough to hold your attention for 45 minutes, and you need to look at something. But partly, I think things go by pretty fast in Sunday school, and you kind of want to have a little piece of paper to go back and say, what was that verse he mentioned? I wanted to look that up. Or what was that song we sang? I totally forgot it. So this is just a reminder to yourself. You don't have to keep it, but that's, if you need that tool, you can take it home and use it. Also, it's kind of helpful to keep me on task, you know, to keep a order of events going. So let's go ahead and start with a word of prayer, and then we will open with the singing of number 136 in the hymnal. Father, we lift up this time to you. It is a great glory and a great privilege for us to be praising you on the Lord's Day, to be meeting with your people, to be inviting the Holy Spirit to come be a part of our worship and our learning, and then to be in a situation where we can be learning more about you. Please teach us, open our hearts to learn, open our mouths to sing your praises, we pray in Jesus' name and for his sake, amen. So this week's theme is singing the scriptures, singing hymns that are saturated with scriptures, and how we can increase our worship by seeking those things out. Sometimes they just sneak by us, but if we train ourselves, we can start looking for, we just sang a Bible verse, or we just sang three or four Bible verses compacted into one hymn. So we're going to start with a famous one from Psalm 119, which is the longest chapter in the Bible, and it's largely about the Word of God. So one of the great verses is, "Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee," committed to a hymn number 136. Maybe new to some of you, but I don't apologize for that. I like teaching as well as singing the familiar. So 136.
Thy word have I hid.
Yeah.
That gave us freedom to clap.
Yes.
He said that gives you freedom to clap because it's in the Bible.
Psalm 98, verse 8, let the rivers clap their hands, let the mountains sing together for joy, let them sing before the Lord. And tying in with that, the opening hymn was also from Psalm 98. The new songs of celebration render comes from verses 1 and 2. Sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. So remember in the hymnal that right under the title there is a scripture verse. And that's something that we're going to talk about a little later, but that can kind of help you connect with what scriptures are connected to that text. So before we dive into scriptures, I wanted to kind of finish up something I didn't get to finish up last week. We have a theme verse for this class, and it's Psalm 105, verses 1 through 5. Did I include that on the handout?
Yes.
I did. Is it printed out or just the reference? Okay, last week it was printed out. So if you have a Bible there in front of you, you can turn to it. And here's where I'm going with this. When I was doing searching on the word sing in the scriptures, I found over 100 references using a great concordance, and I looked them all up back in the day. And I found over 100, and I found that they fell into 4 pretty distinct categories. And those categories were what we read in Psalm 105. So I'll put up my fingers as I read them. Verse 1, give praise to the Lord, proclaim his name. So we proclaim his name when we sing. We let it be known what our testimony is, what our beliefs, what our convictions are. We share it with the congregation. When we're out singing Christmas carols, we're sharing our faith to total strangers. We are proclaiming the word of God in singing. Make known among the nations what he has done. Sing to him. Sing praise to him. That's the second one. We praise God when we sing. We can praise God in prayer. We can praise God in hitting tambourines. We can praise God in hearing a sermon. Singing is a unique way God has given us to praise him. So often the verse that says to sing to the Lord is often followed up with sing his praises. On to verse 3, glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. And that's the third one. Remember in Zephaniah, there's a very special passage. Sing aloud, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O Israel. Rejoice and exult with all your heart, O daughter of Jerusalem. The Lord has taken away the judgments against you. He has cleared away your enemies. The King of Israel, the Lord, is in your midst. You shall never again fear evil. On that day it shall be said to Jerusalem, fear not, O Zion. Let not your hands grow weak. The Lord your God is in your midst, a mighty one who will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. That's pretty special, because throughout the scriptures, we're told to rejoice and sing praises to the Lord. But in Zephaniah, one of the minor prophets, where there's a lot of doom and destruction and gloom, and you know what the minor prophets are kind of known for, is getting up and proclaiming judgment on a sinful Israel. He finishes it with, the Lord will save you. He will redeem you. He will fight your battles, and he will rejoice over you. He will quiet you by his love. He will exult over you with loud singing. So that's kind of the two-way picture. We sing to the Lord. He sings for us. And the verse 4 in Psalm 105, look to the Lord and his strength. Seek his face always. Remember the wonders he has done. That's the fourth one. Remember the wonders he has done, his miracles and the judgments he pronounced. And remember the song of Moses in Exodus 15. They had just gone through the waters. They turned around, saw this army coming at them, and the waters closed up. Their enemy was taken care of by God. They had no weapons. They had no chariots. They had no fighting soldiers. They were probably ready to do this with the guys who came on horses and swords, and the waters covered up. The horse and the rider have been taken by the sea. That was Israel's response, was to sing so that they could remember that moment. They observed Passover to remember the miracle that had happened earlier with the angel of death coming through and passing over all the Israelites. But they had a song especially for this one event. So here's the four things attached to the commandments to sing in Scripture, and I hope you can remember them. They're kind of easy letter-wise. There's two P's and two R's. Proclaim, praise, rejoice, remember. So we talked a lot last week about why do Christians sing. That's boiling it down in Scripture, four good reasons to sing. Okay. Speaking of singing, does anybody need a hymn card? Some of you have brought it. Great. I've got 18 left. I meant to bring... You share? Okay. This is our tool for memorizing a hymn. You need one, Steve? You may. Anybody else? There are still plenty to go around. And if you don't have a card, you can always see it in the hymnal. It's number 660. Why do we try to memorize Scripture verses or songs? It's to hide it in our heart, that I might not sin against thee. There are many times I've been comforted by a hymn in a dark moment, lying in bed at night saying, Lord, why can't I sleep? Why am I so troubled? What am I afraid of? And a hymn comes to me, or the light goes on and the Scriptures open, and there's peace. God wants us to have peace. It's one of the fruit of the Spirit. There's also remembering what He has done. When we're afraid of something, we need to be reminded that God is greater than whatever we're afraid of. There is joy, there is rejoicing, there is celebration of all that God has done for us, all that Jesus did for us. And the presence of the Holy Spirit should bring us joy. So that's why I'm encouraging you to try to hide these songs, these hymns in your heart. Whether or not you sing them, you can recite them. O God, beyond all praising, we worship you today. We sing the love amazing that songs cannot repay. That whole first verse is about praise. At blessings without... For we can only wonder at every gift you send, at blessings without number, at mercies without end. We lift our hearts before you and wait upon your word. We honor and adore you, our great and mighty Lord. So this is all in the context of a prayer. When you're referring to God as you are praying to him. You're speaking to him. So look at verse 2 now. Then hear, O gracious Savior, accept the love we bring, that we who know your favor may serve you as our king. And whether our tomorrows be filled with good or ill, we'll triumph through our sorrows and rise to bless you still, to marvel at your beauty and glory in your ways, and make a joyful duty our sacrifice of praise. More praise, but also with an element of supplication. These are the things I need, Lord. I may have sorrows. My tomorrows may be filled with good or ill, but either way, teach me to rise to bless you still. That's the verse we're going to work on today. So if you need the hymnal open, it's 660. If you don't need the hymnal open, you have the card. I think you've already got it memorized. I'm going to try to play it and memorize the words along with you. So I do have the notes here, but I'm not reading the words. I'm not very good at doing that. So let's just sing verse 2, okay? And we're going to do it through twice. So after the first time through, we're going to go back and sing verse 2 again. Thank you. try to do it without the card or without the hymnal, if you can. That's what how you do it. You just keep rehearsing it, keep trying. Take a peek if you need to. One more time, verse 2.
Ben, hear, O gracious Savior, accept the love we bring, that we who know your favor serve you as our King, and then tomorrow's we
Wonderful. Okay, so I recommend you keep this as a bookmark nearby, wherever you are in your Bible or in at your nightstand. And I encourage you to use this as a prayer one time this week. Just when you are looking for words to pray, pull this out or the hymnal and pray through this prayer, because it's a very solid prayer as well as a marvelous hymn of praise. Okay, scriptures in the hymns. I was going to walk through the service this morning and just look at each hymn that we sang. Janet already mentioned the choir sang Clap Your Hands and Sing, which was based on Psalm 98. Hymnal number 14 was the opening hymn, also from Psalm 98. New Songs of Celebration Render. And quick little quiz, who else knows what Christmas carol comes from Psalm 98? Joy to the world, the Lord is come. You know, it wasn't even written as a Christmas carol. It was just written as a rendition of Psalm 98. But it became very popular as a Christian carol, a Christmas carol, because the Lord has come was one of the lines in it. We go to Day by Day and With Each Passing Moment. I'm going to have to open up my hymnal for this one because I don't remember what I was going to say about it.
I'm going to say Joy to the World can also be very much the Lord's second coming.
Yes.
Second coming is probably what the focus was in its original intent, but then also the translated. And we like to bring our Pastor Mladen's phrase, both and Mladen, that it can be both Christmas and the second coming.
Yes. Come thou long expected Jesus. The Israelites said that, but the Christians now say it because we know he's coming back. In Day by Day and With Each Passing Moment, the second verse ends with, as your days, your strength shall be in measure. And that's in quotes. So that's another clue. When you see quotes in a hymn, it's usually not quoting a person. It's quoting the scriptures. So that's where you can put your thinking cap on and maybe do your Google search and say, what's that verse? Well, we have it already for us. Up in the below the title, you see the scripture quote, your strength will equal your days, Deuteronomy 33:25. So that's a promise from God. And the hymn writer included that in the text of the hymn. The next one we sang was number one in the hymnal. All people that on earth do dwell. Did anybody notice what psalm that was a version of? Thank you, John. The nonverbal communication. Psalm 100. Set to the tune of the doxology. Very similar, almost exactly the same as the doxology tune. But you might notice that that tune is called the Old Hundredth. That's from the 100th. Psalm. That was the tune that was well known to the 100th psalm in the Psalters. So we still sing the tune Old Hundredth. And when we sing hymnal number one, we are singing Psalm 100. And then moving forward, stricken, smitten, and afflicted. Just that title itself. Who knows where that came from in Scripture? Isaiah, yeah. Isaiah 53. We considered him stricken and smitten and afflicted by the Lord. Very good. That's what I want to encourage you to do as you look at your bulletins, either before the Sunday service, because I believe they're posted online, or to do it during the service, in between moments of prayer and teaching, or after the service. Take your bulletin home and make that a devotion. Just to walk through and say, let's review what the pastor preached about. Let's review what the songs were that supported the scriptures. And let's review the scriptures that were read. I think it's my last week of the class where we talk about using the hymnal in devotions. In your family devotions, in your private devotions. And that's why I'm trying to make the hymnal a friend rather than a foreigner. So that we have one at home, that we have one next to our Bible, that we have one opening up frequently, knowing how to find the things that can encourage us in our devotions. Okay. You've all probably seen by now the scripture index in the back of the Trinity hymnal. And if you haven't, it's on page 900. In the midst of many indexes, although the technical word is indices, that always sounds like a funny word to me, so I just say indexes. Like you don't say, hand me a couple cleanices, I have to blow my nose. Indexes, there are many. The one that we want to focus on today is the scripture index. So you see, starting from Genesis, moving all the way to Revelation in that index, if there's a verse that the editors of the hymnal consider to be relevant to a hymn, for example, a pastor's going to be preaching on a particular passage, and you would like to sing a hymn that's specific to that passage, you look under the scripture index. So given a verse or passage of scripture, you should be able to find whether there are any hymns that reference that or are based upon it. Obviously, all 742 hymns in the hymnal should be considered biblical hymns. Because if they were unbiblical or anti-biblical, don't think they would make them in there. And defining biblical as, or defining that as in agreement with biblical truth. So not all of them will have specific scriptures, but they will be in agreement with scriptures. No disagreement, nothing that makes a conflict Christian doctrine, what we come to believe is in the scriptures. So let's explore some different ways of incorporating scripture into the hymns and the hymnal. Starting with that subtitle, I've mentioned it a couple times. I'd like to encourage you every time you open up your hymnal to look first at that scriptural subtitle and see what we're basing it on. Each hymn in the hymnal has a subtitle. Even the doxologies, the Gloria Patris, and the Amen. These verses were no doubt carefully chosen to fulfill the important work of grounding the singing of hymns in the Word of God and to provide a focal point upon which to keep our worship and meditation centered upon objective truth, not subjective feelings. You might remember Pastor Connor talked about that in his introduction class, about the regulative principle, that it's considered very valuable to be worshiping God in a way that He has ordained for us to do so. And obviously a great example of that is singing the Psalms. He gave Israel and the church the Psalms to be sung to Him in worship. However, sometimes we come up with, hey, I have a great idea. Let's do this. And that takes away from the glory of God because it becomes more humanity-centered. Some choices are pretty obvious where they got the scripture verse. So if you saw "Great is Thy Faithfulness" on hymn on page number 32, what do you think the subtitle is going to be? "Great is Thy Faithfulness," because it's right out of the scripture. Who knows what scripture that is?
Lamentations 3:22.
I bet you have it memorized, Sue. Oh, you do? Good. You have the hymnal open. Good for you. You've predicted my question. Some, however, have take a little more discernment to determine the hymn's theme and therefore to come up with a matching scripture. Here's an example. Number 469, how sweet and awesome is the place with Christ within the doors. What scripture would we pull out from that one? Takes a little thinking, doesn't it? So they used Luke 14:16. A certain man was preparing a banquet and invited many guests. And we're saying, wait a minute, how did that come to represent a hymn that's about meeting in God's church? And well, listen to the verses. While all our hearts and all our songs join to admire the feast, each of us cries with thankful tongue, Lord, why was I a guest? Why was I made to hear your voice and enter while there's room, when thousands make a wretched choice and rather starve than come? 'Twas the same love that spread the feast that sweetly drew us in, else we had still refused to taste and perished in our sin. So Isaac Watts uses the metaphor of a banquet, a feast, to represent God's people coming to worship him and inviting those who are not part of the inner circle, you know, inviting the outside world to come in and join with us. And some will say, no thanks, I'm busy. Remember the parables of Jesus and a man put together a banquet, and some people said, no, I have my father to bury, and I have to go buy a cow, and, you know, these excuses, these reasons not to come in, while others say, thank you, Lord, for including me. I just love that line. Why was I made to hear your voice and enter while there's room, when thousands make a wretched choice and rather starve than come? That's that humility that Isaac Watts knew about. Okay, so that's why that subtitle was attached to How Sweet and Awesome. Next bullet is scriptural allusions, using biblical vocabulary, and there is lots of biblical vocabulary. It just comes up in our daily conversations, really. For example, the Lamb of God, the rock, the cross, the gospel, prayer, and here's one in quotes, it is finished. That's from Christ on the cross, it is finished. That comes from, it is well with my soul, maybe? Yeah, I think so. 691. 644, may the mind of Christ my Savior, has several biblical allusions. And then I wanted to focus on this one in quotes, even so, Lord. When we look at it is well with my soul, 691, it comes to the end. And Lord, haste the day when my faith shall be sight, the clouds be rolled back as a scroll, the trump shall resound and, no, not that trump, the trumpet. The trump shall resound and the Lord shall descend, in quotes, even so, it is well with my soul. Where is that found in Scripture? Anybody? Revelation. Where in Revelation? At the very end. It's almost the last verse. It's the second to last verse in the Bible. Revelation 22, verses 20 and 21. He which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. So the scriptures end with that longing, that thinking about, come, come. We are waiting for you anxiously to come. So what is the last verse of It Is Well With My Soul about? It's about meeting the Lord. It's a song that came out of great distress, great sorrow. Anybody know the story behind that song? Horatio Spafford, I think. The story of that briefly is that he went ahead of his family to England to take on a ministry, and then he paid to have them sent over, and there was a great shipwreck, and all his children perished. His wife only of the family survived. And so he sent her a telegram, or he received a telegram. Anyway, I'm probably mixing it up. That's what I do with stories. But great loss, great sorrow, and he wrote this hymn, and there's a lot of water allusions. When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrow like sea billows roll, all coming from a place of deep sorrow, even so it is well with my soul. So it is a hymn of great comfort in times of sorrow. But what comforts us the most? The thoughts about being reunited with Christ in heaven, being meeting him and seeing him face to face. The trump shall resound and the Lord shall descend. Even so, it is well with my soul. So that's just a two-word little nugget, even so, that references a very important scripture that is an allusion with an A, an allusion to scripture that builds in the gaps. Because hymns are poetry. Poetry is usually pretty dense. And it just takes a little couple of words to paint a whole picture. Direct scriptural quotes. Whole verses are rather rare. And this is one that has a long verse committed to music. I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. That's the whole first verse of hymn number 705. There are some other short biblical phrases that are quite common. Scriptural paraphrase, that's a paraphrased biblical story. And by paraphrased, I mean metricized. Take a story. In the case of Morning Sun, which is hymnal 287, that's the disciples discovering the empty tomb on the first day of the week. You're my lyric person. I'm sorry, I put you on the spot. His disciples came to seek, and they met the angel, and the angel said, he is not here. So it's taking a scriptural story and putting it into a hymn. A repeated scriptural phrase or verse, such as, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come, or as the hymn writer wrote, who wert and art and evermore shall be. That's from Holy, 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 obviously. Or expanded upon, and we mentioned, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. Thy compassions, they fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Or number 300, blessing and honor and glory and power. Wisdom and riches and strength evermore from Revelation 5. Versification of a scripture, some are long, such as the Ten Commandments, and that's going to be our closing song, which we'll sing in a couple of minutes. Also, the Beatitudes were committed to a hymn, number 527. Or short scripture passages, 233 is, to us a child is born, to us a son is given. And of course, the Psalms. If you look under the scripture index on page 900, you'll see that the longest section of that index is committed to the Psalms, because so many people have taken the Psalms and put music to them. They've made it into our hymnal. We sometimes sing Psalms from a book of Psalms for worship, and sometimes we get them right out of the hymnal. So that's what we did today. We sang Psalm 100. There are three different ways to designate psalms. One is to say it is a version, such as Psalm 23, and that's just going through the psalm verse by verse and changing it so that it fits the meter and the rhyme scheme of the tune. A second one is to say from the psalm. Example is number 89 and 169. And that's just to say that it's close, but there is some leverage to move around. And then based on Psalm is just like a mighty fortress is our God, is based on Psalm 92. It's not verse by verse. It's not in any order. It's just latching on to the idea that God is our fortress and our strength. And we make a mighty fortress. Martin Luther wrote a mighty fortress based on that. Okay, this one may be new to you. We used to do it quite a bit. In fact, our fifth grade teacher, Mike Chisholm, if any of you remember Mike Chisholm, he used to have this song every week by the fifth graders. So those fifth graders and sixth graders, they knew this hymn. But it's number 724. And if you don't know it at the beginning, you should know it by the end, because there were nine verses. There were nine verses. 724 is the Ten Commandments. That's what our closing hymn will be for today. If you have any questions, feel free to come approach me after the class. If you want to borrow a book, please sign your name and the title on it, and I'll give you 3 weeks to return that to me. And let's stand. This is a great one for standing. 724.
This music is out of the Genevan Psalter, 1547. This is old music, but it doesn't necessarily sound like it. It's a little tricky.
Thanks for being here. Have a blessed week.